In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In case you're wondering, yes, last week's gospel and this week's gospel are basically covering the same story. Last week, we had it from the Gospel of Mark. And I told you then that scholars feel that Mark was probably the first gospel actually written down. It may have been written down as early as the mid-60s. And Mark tends to be very cut and dried. When Matthew and Luke describe the temptation of Christ in the wilderness, they give us details about the three big temptations. Mark just gives us a verse. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. That's it. Moves on very quickly. John is a whole nother thing. Scholars often refer to John simply as the fourth gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they kind of go along together. John is a different thing. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are basically chronological histories. They excuse me, they follow a timeline. John's gospel doesn't. John sets up seven different miracles in the first half of his gospel. It's called the Book of Signs. And Jesus performs a miracle, and then you have a dissertation, basically, about the miracle. You have talking about it, discussion. And so it's a theological reflection on Christ more than a chronological history, the way Matthew, Mark, and Luke are. And then the second half of John is about the crucifixion. And again, much more theologically in depth. John was written much later than the other Gospels, perhaps as late as into the second century, when the community of Christians had had an opportunity to contemplate what it meant for Jesus Christ to come, for Jesus to have been born and lived among us. And so there's some deeper theological reflections in John than you find certainly in Mark. Mark is almost completely devoid of the divine nature of Christ. John's gospel revels in it. But also, by the time that John's gospel was written, there seems to have been a tendency to conflate, to bring together John the Baptist and Jesus. And the writer of John, who's a different John from John the Baptist, but there's a lot of Johns in the Bible, he's trying to sort them out. So our gospel reading today, you see, comes from the first chapter of John. And the first 19 verses of that are generally considered the prologue to John. John opens up with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." When we talk about Jesus Christ being the Word of God, we get that imagery from John's gospel. And so John is talking about this, and he spends time trying to separate out Jesus from John the Baptist. So that's why our gospel reading kind of skips around a bit. It pulls out the bits about John the Baptist, because they're trying to make it abundantly clear that these are two different people. And so uses John's words here. When representatives from the religious leadership in town send people out in the wilderness to ask, "Who are you?" John tells them, "I ain't Elijah. I'm not the prophet. I'm not the Messiah." Get that out of your heads. I am here for one job, to point to the Messiah. And I'm glad you're impressed with what I'm doing, but this is nothing. I couldn't get a job as shoe untier for the real Messiah. I'm here to point you that way. And it starts with repentance, washing away sins. Now, he's a few miles out from Jerusalem, where there is this magnificent temple, decades in the building, where people go to sacrifice animals for their sins. And here's John out in the wilderness saying, "Let me dunk you and you'll be all right." People are flocking to this. Getting washed with water in the Jordan is a lot cheaper than two turtle doves, much less an ox if you've been really bad. So they're coming out to hear the story of how we can be repentant without sacrificing an animal. That it's about being washed. And John says, "I'm glad you're here, but you're missing the point. It's not just getting washed. You're here to prepare for something more. The forgiveness of sins is the beginning, not the main point. We get washed of our sins so we can be prepared to hear the story of Christ and to do God's will. We come for repentance to make it possible for us to delight in God's will." We talked about this last week. But the message is still there. Because that's what sin does. It gets between us and God. And we are in sin. We are sinners. Each and every one of us. You, me, all of us. We sin. We each, from time to time, some more often than not, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, but you know who you are, some decide that as perfect and wonderful as God is, we know better. And that just sounds ridiculous on the face of it. God, the ultimate power in the universe, the one who created us, tells us how we live our lives best. And we say, hey, I got a different idea. Let's try it my way. The temerity. If you've raised teenagers, you've seen it. You know what the best way to do is, but try to get that across to somebody and it's not going to happen. We are just like that at times. We know what God wants from us. We know what God calls us to do. And we decide, I've got a better idea. I think my way could possibly this time work better. It won't. Your way, my way, is not better than God's way. Because God created us. As we approach the gift-giving time here associated with Christmas, there's a tendency, it happened yesterday, here, let me see the instructions for that. Oh, don't worry about it. I can look at the pictures and figure it out. No, you need to read the instructions. But we figure we can just figure it out from what we've got. We don't bother reading the instructions. We don't bother doing the work of understanding what it is we're called to do. And we mess it up every single time. Trust me, I've messed up enough projects for not reading carefully. It happens. And so we read and we immerse ourselves in the Word of God so that we can know how God wants us to live. And even then it gets complicated because we can talk ourselves into anything. And there have been a lot of people acting in the name of Christ who have done some really terrible things, but they're certain they're right about it. How can we tell? All right, Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians here, one of the first things written in the New Testament, says you've got to judge every spirit. You've got to think about it. You've got to look at it and wonder and ask and question. And in other places, he tells us, if it's of the Spirit, there are certain fruits that are going to come out of it. If it's of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be goodness and joy and peace and comfort and all these wonderful things. And if it's not of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get bad things. You're going to get division, derisiveness, and all kinds of nasty, evil things. And so that's what we do. We look at our attitudes, our approaches, and our actions. Are what they doing building up or tearing down? When we decide that we're acting in the name of Christ, is what we're doing making things better or making it worse? Is what we're doing building up or tearing down? Because when we act in the name of Christ, we are to be building up. It should produce fruit that is good, that is joyful, that we can rejoice. But if we do things in the name of Christ, and all it does is bring division and anger and fear, it's not right. We're not going about it the right way. Our call is to be joyful Christians. Rejoice in the idea that we are forgiven of our sins, that even though we will mess up, God will forgive us before we're even ready to ask, and to extend that forgiveness, that love, to those around us. Because it's not just a one-sided thing. As we receive, we must give. So John called him out in the wilderness, said, be washed, repent, get rid of those sins, and get ready for something even better. And because we keep sinning, we keep confessing. It's an ongoing process. But God's grace allows that, so we can keep coming back and receive grace and mercy from God. And that we should extend that grace and mercy to others. That's what we're called to do. That's what it means to be a witness for Christ. To build up. To help people. To rejoice in God our Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.